This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young.
And this is the show that answers the question, why am I doing this?
So we're going to have a great time. We need to tell you a little bit about who we are, but I think it'll be far more fun if I get to tell you about Karen.
And I get to tell you about Erin.
What I know about Karen, Well, the first thing I think anybody notices about Karen is her sense of humor. You can't miss it. And her laugh follows her everywhere, precedes her. It's one of the best and my favorite thing about her, I think. And funny enough, I never know what she's going to say. So I think that I'm pretty brave sitting here doing a podcast with you, Karen. Anything can happen. So the next thing, though, that I notice about Karen is her heart. As I've gotten to know her more and more, I see that heart for writers. I see how much she loves to minister and how much she cares about you guys and what you write. And then I notice what an industry veteran she is. And that's not, I'm not calling you old, Karen.
Yes, you are. You're saying that I'm ancient.
So there was this day that we were on a road trip together, and I asked Karen to tell me, how did you get into the business? What have you done? And so 2 hours later, I'm still hanging there. My mouth is wide open. My eyeballs are grapefruits. And Karen is telling me about all of the amazing things she's done and the wonderful writers that she's worked with, like Francine Rivers and Robin Jones Gunn and Brandolyn Collins and Karen Kingsbury and Robin Lee Hatcher. And I could go on and on and on.
Yeah, let's not.
But the fun thing is that she has edited amazing books. She has worked with amazing writers, and these people trust her. She has learned from them and taught them in a great relationship. So I'm truly excited that she's going to be here sharing all of that treasure trove of wisdom with us.
And let me tell you a little bit about Erin. I first met Erin maybe 3 years ago. Erin, 4 years ago?
Probably.
How long has it been? Maybe three years ago. And we were at the Mount Hermon Writers Conference, and I had set an appointment to meet with her as a possible agent. And Steve Lobby had actually looked at her proposal and said that he thought it was more up my line because it was about dogs. And everybody knows I love dogs. I love animals of all kind. So she came and sat down. We were in the auditorium, and it was the end of a long conference, and I'd been up since about 6 in the morning until 3 or 4 in the morning almost every day of the conference, which is
zombie.
Normal. Yeah, it's normal for the editors and the agents who are there, and for a lot of the conferees too. We don't need a lot of sleep while we're there. Well, we do need a lot of sleep. We don't get a lot
of
sleep
true.
While we're there. So she came and sat down, and the thing going through my mind was, why did I do this to myself? Why did I schedule something for this late? But Erin had asked, and she'd been very kind about the way she asked, and so I thought, okay, I can do this. So she sat down, and I could tell, you know, she was a little on the nervous side, but she handed me her manuscript, and I thought, all right, Karen, when you read this thing and you see that it's just not where it needs to be, you got to be kind, you got to be good. And I started reading, and I kept reading, and I laughed out loud, and I kept reading. And before I knew it, I was 3 or 4 pages into this manuscript and having a great time. I wasn't tired anymore because she has this gift of communicating humor, laugh out loud writing that catches you on the offbeat and just cracks you up and then comes in when your heart is tenderized from laughing and ministers to you. So what that showed me about Erin was the depth in who she is as a writer, as a believer. She's a woman of great faith. I've learned since then that she studies scripture like you can't believe. She memorizes scripture. It's not just caught in her mind, but it's caught in her heart and her spirit. And she has such a heart for writers and such a heart, especially for new and young writers who are at a place that she was not all that long ago. So this whole idea of writing from the deep, living from the deep, embracing the deep, those deep places. Erin, talk to me about what that means to you. What does the deep mean to you?
Well, I think the deep is a lot of different things. For me, the deep really is about meeting God, being immersed in God, being in a place where you can breathe God and drink God in, because this is a very, very tough world that we live in. And writing is a very, very tough thing that we do.
Right.
And we need to have that breath of life in the midst of the pressures. And I know, Karen, you have some different ideas about what the deep means to you. And together, we love the combination of how they work together. So talk to us what the deep means to you.
For me, because I've been in this for so many years, I've been doing it for close to 35 years, and I've watched writers go from being newbies to being bestsellers. And you would think that these writers who are at the pinnacle of their career, everything's going well. And yet what we see is that there's so much struggle with burnout. There's mid-list writers who've had a great run. And because of all the changes in publishing, suddenly they can't get contracts. And so they're feeling like everything that they've done to this point has been wasted, that they haven't accomplished the task that God has given them, when in reality, they have. And so they're in these deep places of struggle of exactly, why am I doing this? Why am I still doing this when it's such a hard thing to do? Writing is so solitary. And writers, probably the majority of writers, are introverts. And so they spend so much time in their hearts, in their heads, thinking through all these things and struggling. And what we are saying is, these deep places for me, those deep places of struggle and of wondering, should I still be doing this? Those are great places to be. Not fun when you're in them, but it's in those deep places that God reaches us and refines us and makes us into a much clearer reflection of who He is. And if we can hold on, if we can learn to embrace those times, embrace the questioning, embrace the doubts, and learn and write from those places, we'll be putting out books that are moving people and changing their lives and that are changing us as we're writing.
Exactly. So I think of it in this world, I think of all of that pressure like a dream that I often have, Karen. We have dreams. They're not always good. I have this dream where I'm drowning sometimes, and I think we all at least can relate to some form of that kind of pressure. And when I'm in my dream drowning, I'm underwater and I can't see the surface, and you know that you're about at the end, your lungs are burning, and then all you can do is suck water and die. And so in my dream, that's what I do. I think, okay, here it comes. And I take that breath, and it's not water. And suddenly I realize I can breathe underwater in the midst of my drowning. And that's what Karen and I want for you guys. In the midst of that pressure of the struggles, we want you to breathe God and live. And those are the places where we learn the most. But it takes both sides of it. It takes the pain, and it takes letting God into that pain before you can really find out who you are and what you want to say.
And as writers who are just coming into this whole gig, who feel as though God is talking to you and giving you the task of sharing your message through a writing platform, it's so easy to get overwhelmed. It's so easy to look at it and forget where God tells us not to be discouraged by the size of the task, and to get discouraged because you don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. And again, you feel like you're just being shoved into the water and it's over your head. And we're saying that is a deep place, but there are wondrous things that you can learn in the midst of this. And we want to equip you. We want to give you tools to learn how to thrive in those deep places. So we want to come to you and say you're not alone. We want to say that there are people who've been there in those places. There are people who are in those places now who are sharing the same struggles. I remember when I was at the Sandy Cove writing conference on the East Coast. And I had this little gal, I was sitting at my little table where I was there as an editor, and people were coming, writers were coming to share their manuscripts with me. And, you know, it's like these 15-minute conferences when people come and sit down and they lay their manuscript in front of you. And it's like they're laying their fresh beating heart in front of you and trusting you not
way,
to
Karen.
Shred it. I know it feels that way. And so we're sitting there, the editors and the agents, we're sitting there trying to figure out how to encourage and yet bring a touch of reality into the situation. And so she gives me this manuscript and she says, "I've written you a romance." Now, you need to understand, I love romance novels. I love people who write romance novels. My first books as a writer were romance novels because I love them. But there are a lot of people who come with the romances that they've written, and they're just not quite ready to be shown to anybody. And so, you know, I was prepared for this to be that kind of thing, to look at it and it would just kind of not be that strong. And so I was going to have to give her some points while still taking care of that vulnerable heart. And I started reading, and just like with Aaron's manuscript, and this hardly ever happens. I know this is going to sound like this happens to me all the time, but it's rare. I started reading the first page, and then the second page. And I was so immersed in the story. And I finally looked up from the manuscript at her and I said, this isn't a romance. This is To Kill a Mockingbird. This is beautiful. Well, Nick Harrison, who was and still is the editor at Harvest House, was sitting at another table to the side of me. And he heard me say that out loud. And the next thing I know, he grabs hold of his chair that he's sitting on and he hops over next to me and he says, To Kill a Mockingbird, where?
So, I can picture that.
Yeah. And I threw a body block on him. This is mine, dude. And this was Sharon Ewell Foster, who wrote the amazing book Passing by Samaria, which is the manuscript that I was looking at. And by the end of that conference, she had me as an editor wanting to acquire the book. She had someone who signed her as an agent, and it was this amazing time. Now, I know that's a rarity that happens, but those kinds of things do happen. And there are those people who, when they come into it, it just opens up for them because God is so present in the situation. And then there are other times when that's not the case. There are other times when, you know, you do everything right and it doesn't seem to go anywhere. And so we want to equip you for how to deal with those times when it feels like you're doing everything right, but it doesn't seem to be going where you want it to.
And not only that, not only is the writing world sometimes against you, there's other things against you. We have enemies, and we really need to learn how to defend ourselves against those enemies. Part of the equipping process is that we need to learn to take in the water of life and filter out what we don't want.
Right.
That's the important thing. It's because your story matters, though.
Right.
Karen and I are sitting here and our heart is open before you because your story matters. No matter what lies you hear, when you walk around every day, you have a story. Your life is a story. And so what we want is for your story to be told in the best way that it can be, because ultimately we have a redemptive message.
Right.
We have the only redemptive message, and it's for God's glory that we need to say those things.
Right. Aaron, you talked about a time when you were out running and you saw the sprinklers going. Why don't you talk about that for a minute?
You know, it's funny. I love to run in the morning times. And I live in Oklahoma. It gets very, very hot. Sometimes it's 90 and it's only 7 in the morning. So like I got to run at 6 in the morning.
Right.
And it's crazy because in my neighborhood, people are sprinkler happy. There's a good reason for that, because later in the day, it's going to be 110, you know. So they don't want their yards to be brown. So here they are. They're sprinkling like crazy. It's 6 in the morning. I feel like I'm running an obstacle course with these howitzers, you know, shooting water at me. Sometimes I run with Henry, too, and he hates water. So he's like always yanking me to the middle of the street because there's a hose coming at us.
Henry, for those of you who don't know, is her boxer.
My crazy boxer.
That's
so
right.
What happens, though, is that these people are putting so much water on their lawn because they want their lawn to be fresh and green. Well, okay, here's the trouble. We live in clay. So the water, instead of soaking in, mostly runs off. So I'm pretty much running through a puddle after puddle. It's like a river on the street. And I'm not exaggerating. This is what I see every day. And yes, the grass looks green in the morning at 6 o'clock when it's still only 80 out. But when it's 110 in the middle of the day, the grass looks dry and withered because
parched.
None of that has soaked in. None of that. And so we don't want that happening to us. We
right.
are hard clay by nature. We can get hardened by the trials. We can get defeated, and we need to learn how to be soft and let the right things in.
Right. So the way that we look to encourage you and the way that we want to equip you is to share what other people are doing, what other people are feeling, whether it's in us talking about it and sharing stories. We'll be doing interviews and talking with authors who are in the same place that you are, whether that's at the beginning and trying to figure out how to get started and how to do this well, or whether it's with folks who've been doing it for a long time and have had a measure of success, but they're wondering what to do now with things changed. We want to draw in this incredible wealth of information from the people who've been doing it. And let's come and reason together. Let's tell our stories. Let's share what God has done in our lives. Let's share some laughter. Let's share some tears. And let's talk about the fact that you're not alone. Talk about the fact that this is a safe place. Come here and spend time with us. And we will do what we can to encourage and to uplift, to give you some reality checks if you need them, a kick in the pants if you need that.
Oh,
but
no.
By the same token, yeah. But by the same token, we want to give you some craft tips. We want to give you some how to care for yourself tips. We want to be the place where you can come, and we're a haven for you to come away from the stress and be able to be equipped and ready to go back and face it.
So you've heard it here, folks. Karen, yeah, the editor for 30 years, is going to give you secret craft tips.
There you go.
Not just ministering to your heart and soul, but to your writing as well. We do. We want to address both.
Right. Because this whole thing is about excellence. It's about doing it with excellence. And you know what? Excellence doesn't mean that you won't struggle. Excellence means that you stay with the struggle, that you immerse yourself in the Lord in the face of the struggle. And so that's what we want to do. We want to come alongside you and say, let us help you on this journey.
So join us next week.
Amen.
This has been the Right from the Deep podcast
with Karen Ball
and Aaron Taylor Young. Embrace the deep.
Your life and your writing will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.